week. This is been in a series called The God Who Speaks. This is week four, and we're going to be wrapping this up today. And if you got a chance to hear Pastor Brad speak last week about a still small voice, a couple of the things that stood out to me was how God is speaking, but do we really want to hear what he has to say? And I thought that was a great question for us to kind of just think about and kind of ponder that in our hearts. And then talked about repairing our altars and welcoming, getting to a place of where we would welcome his voice into our lives. But today, I wanted to talk to you. I was going to name it the God plan, the plan of God. I was going through all these like other titles, but I just came down to plans to prosper. Amen? So today, we're talking about the God who speaks, plans to prosper. And I really believe that today God wants to speak to our next level. Everybody say next level. Because I do believe that God has that for each and every one of us, that his plans for us and him getting our attention. So we're going to be reading in the book of Acts chapter 9 verses 1 through 22. Now I'm not reading all 22. Don't get scared. I know that that's a lot of reading right there, but we're going to be kind of jumping through these scriptures. But you guys read along with me and starting with verse 1. It says this. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened up his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus, and for 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. So we're going to stop here because a portion of the scripture I want to just kind of just tell you a little bit about. There is also a man in the city of Damascus, and his name is Ananias. And then Ananias is not to be confused with the one that Peter had to kind of confront him and his wife, Ananias and Sapphira. This is Ananias, a disciple in the city of Damascus. And we also know that in Scripture, what we're going to read here in a second, is that there were other disciples there as well. But Ananias is visited by Jesus himself as well and begins to tell him that there's this man, Saul. I need you to go visit him. I need you to lay your hands on him and help him restore his sight. And guess what Ananias's reaction was? It was like absolutely not. Like no, do you know who this Saul is? I mean, how crazy he is? And I mean, he's going, no way. And here, let's get back into the scripture. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here has sent me to you that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus, and at once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. Okay. Don't have to lift your hands to this. I'm just asking this. I'm just going to kind of put this out here, but I don't know how many times you have read the story. The story of Saul. This is Saul before he becomes Paul. We don't hear his name even mentioned as Paul until chapter 13, I think verse 9 is the first time. So this is Saul. And if you've read the story before, then you're familiar with it. But if you haven't, there's a part of the scripture that really jumped out at me because of what we're talking about here today, and it's this right here. In Acts 9:1, it says, meanwhile. Everybody say meanwhile. Okay? So let's read it. Meanwhile, Saul is breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. So meanwhile, to me, it's like this. Let's talk about this. Is that Lori and I could be downstairs cleaning the house and getting it straight. Meanwhile, our kids are upstairs destroying the house. Is everybody with me? I'm sitting there. Lori and I are watching TV, and I'm trying to watch a college football game. Meanwhile, she can't keep her eyes off of me. I'm joking. I'm totally kidding. Anyway, meanwhile, Here we are, guys. So check this out. Meanwhile, while Saul is doing his thing, God is doing his thing. Okay, so the meanwhile is there in right at the very beginning. First word, chapter 9, verse 1, because chapter 8, that entire chapter is talking about all of the amazing things God is doing. Okay, so here's what we know in chapter 8. Philip is casting demons out of many in Jesus' name. We also know that Philip is healing many in the name of Jesus. Simon the sorcerer finds Jesus through being just around the teachings that Philip was doing and is later baptized. Peter and John hear about what's going on. They're in Jerusalem and they come down the hill to Samaria and they come and find what's going on, the revival that's taking place, and they begin to lay hands on people, and many are beginning to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We know that Peter and John, after they spent some time there, they decide to go back to Jerusalem to carry this power back with them. And as they're going, they're stopping village to village, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We also know that Philip, in this amazing story where he goes and finds the Ethiopian eunuch, and he's standing outside the chariot and hears him reading the book of Isaiah. And he looks up, he says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" "No, I don't. Why don't you come in here and tell me all about it?" He gets in there and they start talking about Jesus. And the next thing you know, they're baptizing the eunuch right outside the chariot, right outside on the other side, on the street, finding some water and just baptize him. Then we know that Philip continues preaching as he's leaving the eunuch, going village to village on his way to Caesarea. Meanwhile, Saul is breathing murderous threats. Isn't that cool when you read it that way and you understand what God is trying to say? So how many of us know that today things could be going so good. They could be going one way and tomorrow things can immediately change. Days may be different, but this never changes that God has plans to prosper you. Can I get an amen? Prosper in the Webster's Dictionary. It's very simple. This is what it says. To prosper prosper means financially successful, flourishing physically, and that you're strong. But let's look at Jeremiah 29:11, where really we get this plans to prosper. "For I know the plans I have for you," verses 29:11, declares the Lord, "plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." So let's take the same word and let's look at it in the Bible dictionary, biblically. It comes out of the Greek. It talks about to carry you to or toward, or that you're going to bear favor, to be successful, to succeed, to grow or increase, to thrive, to make gain, to prosper, not just in business or in agriculture, but that you're going to prosper in relationships and most importantly, in Jesus Christ. So Saul was only seeing things one way. Saul's plan had everything to do with this, that he was going to leave Jerusalem, go to Damascus, and any and all who followed Jesus were either going to be killed or thrown into prison. That was Saul's plan when he left Jerusalem. But, everybody say but, God had different plans for Saul and his future. I want to share a story with you today that I've never shared at this church since we've been here yet. I've shared it a couple times, but not with you. And it's something that took place with me back in 2009. In 2009, we were a part of a church over here in Chesapeake, in Deep Creek. And January of 2009, Lori and I went on a 20th wedding anniversary at the time to the Southern Caribbean. And on that, when we were going, we were really miserable at our church because there was something going on. We didn't know what it was, but something wasn't right. The church was growing, but there was just something in our spirit that we knew that was. And so we got on the boat, and we were praying about it. We were just having fun and doing our thing. But God finally spoke to us on the cruise and said, "I will reveal all things in May." That's all we knew. We come home, we get out the boat, we go back to the church, and guys, listen, when I say our church was growing, every month going into 2009, we were growing by hundreds, up until the point of Easter that we had an Easter service that was almost 3,800 people were there for Easter. May 3rd, okay, remember God said he would reveal all things in May. May 3rd, our pastor is busted for a 2-year affair. From there, we just knew we could see everything starting to implode. There was a board that was trying to somehow keep him into the church. They didn't want him to go through restoration. On, I can just keep going on and on. And we just knew that God had said, "That was I've revealed it, and now your time is done there." We had an Israel trip planned in July of that year. And so we had already paid for it. Everybody was ready to go. We had a team together, and everybody just decided we're going on this trip. So we stay faithful to that. We go to Israel. We do work. We're out there seeing the land. On the third day, we go to bed, Lori and I. And in the night, in my dream, this is what happened. And let me say this too. We also had plans, okay? Remember how Saul had his plan? And it changed pretty quickly. We had our plans too. We were going to put up our house for sale when we got back. We were going to move to either California or Texas and find a new church and be a pastor. We had plans to leave Virginia. We had our plans set to fix it all. And it made so much sense that God had to be in it. So anyway, so I'm in there and God, I have this dream. And here's the thing, is that in the dream immediately, I realize I'm sitting in a chair. And as I look around, I realize it's a barber chair. And there's somebody cutting my hair. And every time I would try to turn to see who was cutting my hair, the person would not let me turn. And I quickly realized that God was cutting my hair. I was sitting in front of a humongous rectangular window pane that had the most, and I'll never forget it because it was the clearest view, kind of elevated up on the street, and I could see everything. And then I also realized that there was a yellow bus sitting right out there. And immediately in my spirit, I feel anxious about that. I need to be on that bus. I'm trying to get up. I'm trying. And the person cutting my God, you know, is pulling me back and telling me, you know, just relax. I'll, you know, and here's what he said to me. Here's the thing is that he goes, "I know the bus is there. I know where it is going. And I will tell you when it's time to get on the bus." And he continued to cut my hair. So guys, you have to imagine that when I woke up from that dream, every nerve in my body was ringing, just highly sensitive. I mean, I'm laying there on my side, and if Lori would have even opened her eye remotely, it was about 4 a.m, I would have went, "We got to talk." You know what I mean? I was laying there looking at her, and I'm going, bus, cutting my hair, come here. I'm trying to remember, I wanted to remember everything. And so around 6:30, Lori just happened to go, "You know how you do that?" And she got to open it up. And I go, "Lori, we got to talk." And I was ready to go. 6:30 morning. And I'm telling her about this dream. And I'm so excited about it. I'm full of enthusiasm, you know, because of what God and how God came and visited me. And as we talked about this, there were some things that came back. Things that came out of this. And first, I'm going to lay them out there for you. First, the bus. The bus, God had my attention. My next was about to begin and he was making a way. And the bus, I knew, was for me. Then there's the chair in the window. God had me exactly where he needed me to be with him. The chair was for me to sit with him so that we could talk with each other. God started to cut my hair was a way of him showing me there's no rush, there's no reason to feel anxious, and that he was taking care of me. And then the window, like it just represented clarity and vision. I could see what God was seeing. Does everybody hear what I'm saying there? He's behind me. I can see exactly what he is seeing. I could see he had provided a way to get moving, and I could see the beginning of God's plan for me. But the haircut, I remember, you know, sitting there going, okay, when it ended, he was still cutting my hair. And as we talked during the day, you know, Lori and I finally came to this, that the dream ending with God continuing to cut my hair, I quickly figured out that God was grooming me for my next assignment. Guys, here's what you have, and I want to get into this, and we're going to kind of go back and forth with what God was doing with Saul and what God was doing with me. But the first thought is this right here. 4 thoughts regarding God's plan to see you prosper. The first one is this. A God plan requires your full and complete attention. A God plan will require your full and complete attention. Acts 9:1-4. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. And as he neared Damascus on his journey, first of all, guys, Damascus was between 150 and 180 miles away, depending on the route that you took to get there. So whether Paul was on a horse, in a chariot, or if he was walking, which a lot of people believe he was walking, that's a long time. We're talking by foot over 2 weeks. on his way to Damascus. Suddenly, a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" The Passion Translation says it this way, that just outside the city, a brilliant light flashing from heaven suddenly exploded around him. Falling to the ground, he heard a booming voice. I think we can all agree Saul understood he was having a God encounter. Amen? Based on what we're reading in Scripture, Jesus was speaking directly to him. God has the plan. God is trying to speak the plan. And to receive the plan for that God has for your life, he will do whatever it takes to get your attention. I know that when I wasn't living for the Lord, he got my attention. I know that even now that as I've been serving God over the years, there's been times where he's had to get my attention. We know that in Scripture it said this right here, for 3 days he was blind. Okay, so not only did he get knocked down, but when he got up, he couldn't see, and for 3 days he was blind. Let me tell you something, Jesus had his attention. In, I can't remember what year this was, but I know it was before our kids were born. Lori and I were on our way up to Oregon to go see her sister and my brother-in-law, who pastored up in Oregon. I don't know if he was an associate pastor or youth pastor still, but we went up there. And on the way up through the mountains past Tahoe, there was some snow, but it wasn't that bad. We had our chains ready to go in case we came back. Well, sure enough, on the way back, it had dumped between 6 and 8 feet of snow in about 4 days. So it was so bad that when we got our chains on, that they funneled us down to one line like you're on a water slide. Know on the water slides how they'll let somebody go? And when they see them kind of get down, whatever, then they'll tell you to go. Well, that's how they were doing us. The car would get down about a half mile and somebody would radio up. So can you imagine the traffic jam, first of all? It was our turn to go. They had the snow piled up so high, it was between 10 and 15 feet on both sides where there was no lanes. You just went down. It was like you were on one of those, what is the Olympic toboggans? Is that what that is, you know? Except, you know, it's not for fun. I mean, it's kind of scary. But, you know, Lori and I are sitting there talking. We're listening to music. And we're going down, not paying attention. And the next thing you know, we start spinning. Not one time, not two times. We're just spinning out of control to where I finally just let go of the wheel because it didn't matter what I was doing. And we just spun. Lori's over there going, oh, making all her noises. And we're just spinning. And finally, the car stops. How many of you know that I was paying attention now? Radio goes off. We're not talking anymore. Let's just get down this hill alive. When God visited me in that dream, he had my attention. I knew it was him. I knew it was his hands. I knew it was his voice. I knew the bus was for me. God was eliminating any chance for me to doubt what I was seeing. And there was no doubt that this was about me and that something amazing was about to begin. My next was on its way. And I would say this, make this a priority in your life. To set aside time with God, that he would have your full and complete attention. Maybe it's just in your morning coffee. Guys, since 2011, this has become a ritual with my wife every morning. Every morning, she is downstairs with a coffee, and she is crying out to God. She's talking to God. She's praying to him. And guys, I'm telling you, I've come down early sometimes, not as early as she has to on a regular basis, but I would hear her crying out to God and praying to him. It was basically her time to give God her full and complete attention. Maybe it's while you're fishing or while you're in your car. Guys, the thing is that, you know, we sometimes even just need to create a prayer closet in our own homes, where you know you can go and have alone time with God. When you give your attention to God, he will set your heart on what needs the most attention in your life. He will set your heart on his plan for your life. God has the plan. God makes the way. God has the timing. It's perfect timing. God wants your focus. He wants your devotion. And God wants the best of the best for your life. Can I get an amen? Psalms 45. Guys, check this out. Look at this one. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us. Many. Everybody say many. Many. that he has planned for you. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. Put your attention on Jesus. Amen? Here's the second thought. Plans to prosper. A God plan puts you exactly where you are supposed to be. Amen? A God plan requires your full and complete attention, and a God plan puts you exactly where you are supposed to be. Let's go back to Acts 9, verse 5. Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. You know, sometimes we need others. Sometimes we need others, and God will give us those who are going to help us. And you never know who it's going to be. It could be family. It could be friends. It could be just your dudes, your girls, you know, that are going to come, that God's going to send to help you take those next steps. Look in Acts 9, 7, and 8. The men traveling with Saul, remember, these are not believing men. These are men that were going to help him throw people in prison and see them killed. But it says the traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. And what does it say? So they led him by hand. That God would use two men that have nothing to do, that really didn't seem like they had nothing to do with the plan, the plans that God had for Saul, but yet they're leading him to his next. By hand, into the city, into Damascus. And sometimes to be exactly where God wants us to be, and the journey can be long, but you will need the support of others. There will be days when you feel like quitting what God is calling you to do. And remember what this is all about. God's plan is about your life. This is a plan that he has for you, that you're going to fulfill for him. It's God's plan. It's not my own. Proverbs 19:11, and I love this version of it. It says, we may make a lot of plans, but the Lord will decide, but the Lord will do what he has decided. We may make a lot of plans, but the Lord will do what he has decided. A.B. Simpson, a theologian, said this, God is preparing his heroes, and when the opportunity comes, he can fit them into their places in a moment, and the world will wonder where they came from. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. God's timing, that he can put you where you're exactly where you're supposed to be. When God visited me in that dream, he had me exactly where he wanted me to be. I was in his chair, hearing his voice, feeling his hands on my life. I could see everything. He gave me the best view. And I knew something amazing was about to begin, and there was no reason to fear or worry. God's plan is to see you prosper, and it has nothing to do with you wandering around aimlessly, full of anxiety of what God, what are you asking me to do? That's not God's plan. You will not be filled with this. He knows exactly where you are supposed to be. Can I get an amen? Here's my third thought. A God plan will always come with vision and clarity. I want everybody just to proclaim this over your life this morning. Just repeat these. I'm going to say them and then you repeat them. God, speak vision into my life. God, fill me with your purpose. Okay, can now use your voice on this one. God, speak clearly to me. Acts 9:10, look at this. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. And the Lord called to him, what does it say, in what? In a vision. He says, Ananias, he calls him by name. And guys, listen, it's so specific that if you go back and you read chapter 9, you need to go back and read how specific Jesus was with him. Listen to this. He says, go, he told him. Told him to go to the house of Judas on Straight Street. Told him exactly where to go, to ask for Saul, to place your hands on Saul to help him restore his sight. You know, when God visited me in the dream, everything was so clear. I could see what God was seeing. I had no doubt about what I was hearing and what I was seeing. I could see he was providing me a way to get moving, and I could see that there was nothing blocking me from what God had planned. Acts 9:12, look at this. In a vision, the same time that Ananias is being visited with a vision, he's visiting Saul. It says, in a vision, Saul, had seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. See, that's the God that we serve. That he could be talking to me, and he's also talking to other people at the same time to make sure that the plan to prosper is going to take place. Amen? So, guys, listen to this. Helen Keller, if anybody on planet Earth had the right to say what she says in this statement, it was her. Helen Keller said this, "The most pathetic person in the world is someone who has sight but has no vision." Clear and precise, full of purpose, God-led, given by vision. Guys, the word enthusiasm, you know, I used that word when I woke up from my dream because I wanted to get up and dance at 4 a.m, but I knew my wife would kill me if I did it. I mean, I was ready to go. I was so full of enthusiasm. And it comes from the Greek word entheos. Now, entheos means to be inspired or to be filled with God. That's where it comes from, is entheos. So, guys, here it is. That's what I want. And that's what I'm praying for every person in Harvest Assembly, that you would be filled with God, fully inspired, that your entheos would be so infectious to those around you that when you come into their presence, it's going to begin to change the way that they're feeling. It's going to begin to change the way that they're seeing. It's going to begin to change the way that they're hearing, that your entheos would go and inspire them. Here's entheos, my definition. Not in the Greek, and it's not found in the Hebrew. It's found in the second book of Matthew. How about that? Entheos means that God just set a fire under my tail. There was nothing else that I could think about. I had to get moving. Because we have God's vision, I'm telling you, God's clarity will always come with it. Which leads me to this last and final thought. That a God plan prepares you for what is next. Everybody say next. You're next. That a God plan will prepare you for your next. Acts 9:15. But the Lord said to Ananias, now remember, guys, listen, Ananias has just given off all these reasons why he doesn't want to go into the presence of Saul. He's crazy. He's killing people. He's throwing people into prison. How could you ask me? And here's what he says. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. God's plan, his plan to prosper, that here is a man that he is on his way to murder and put people in prison. He's made blind 3 days. Somebody comes and lays their hands on him. The scales fall off. Now he can see. He begins to eat, get his strength. He's spending time with the disciples receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ. And guys, here's the thing is, God is saying, I don't care what you think about this man. He is my chosen one. He is the one who's going to be my mouthpiece to kings, to princes, to people around the world, to governors, to those who do not know Jesus. This is my man. And he's saying that to us today, that this is my man, this is my woman that I am going to use. Acts 9:17-20, look at this. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. And Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus, and at once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. That you could go just in a matter of days of wanting to kill and imprison people, and now you're speaking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is a plan to prosper you. Amen? All those moving parts. You know, when God visited me in the dream, he was grooming me for the next chapter of my life. Timing is everything with God. While I was getting my hair cut, he was revealing more of himself to me. We were talking. He settled me down. His presence was so strong that I wanted to stay there as long as I could. It was in his spirit, his boldness, his words, his energy, flooding the chair that I was sitting in, that my heart was so full that when I woke up with that time of God, I couldn't wait to talk to my wife about it. And guys, here's the thing about a heart. I don't know if you guys, this is the physical heart. Listen to this right here. The heart acts as an emotional conductor and radiates how you are feeling to every cell in the body via the heart's electromagnetic field. And this energy field can be detected up to 5 to 10 feet away. Now, the heart's electromagnetic field is 5,000 times more powerful than the brain. So guys, let me just think about the impact that a heart of God has on those who walk into that heart's influence. Get the picture of this, what God had just done to Saul. And I would just say this, Jesus, let my heart after you have an influence on many, and let me see and feel my heart for you. Guys, I was operating 100% from a place of entheos when I woke up. I was inspired. I was filled to the top with God. I was looking forward to what was next. And guys, here's the thing is the next for Lori and I was already in motion before he even gave me the dream. You know what our plan was? Our plan was that our house would be up for sale when we came back and we were leaving Virginia. Praise the Lord that we didn't follow our own plan, because I would have missed all of this amazing things that happened with us with 3-in-1 church. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. But even just being with you here this morning, if I would have followed my own plan, this would not be happening today. The next for Lori and I, his plan was already in motion from the time we woke up and talked about what God had said. Because when we got up that morning, multiple people on our team and people that we were working with in Israel who did not live in the States were telling Lori and I constantly, you need to plant a church when you go back. You need to plant a church. I feel that you're called to plant a church. We got home and our real estate agent, who was supposed to have our house up for sale, how many of you know Morgan, who sings in the worship team? Her dad was the worship, and he's sitting there and he's starting to tell us what he's going to do, and all of a sudden he just slams his book shut and he goes, I don't want to sell your house. You guys should be planting a church. And we were both like, what? You know? So here we go, guys. Listen to this. We go to Georgia. My brother-in-law, Rich Wilkerson, his son, is getting married. We get down there. We drive all night to get there. I'm kind of tired in the morning, but I can hear Rich at the kitchen table talking to Lori and with her mom and stuff. And so I get up, and I go sit down, and I got my bowl of cereal. And guys, I barely got my eyes open. I'm sitting there eating. And Rich is over there, praise God, and hey, this is going on. And everything's just exciting. And I'm like, Rich, dude, you got to settle down, man. And he goes, hey, Matt, I've got something for you. And he slides a book over to me. Guys, go ahead and put this slide up right here. Look what he gave me. Right here. I have the book. This is the actual book that he slid over to me, filled with all my writing and stuff that I put in there. And guys, there is the school bus that was sitting outside the window that was waiting for me to go. Amen. Saul was so enthusiastic about God's plan for his life. The world was set on fire for the gospel that poured from his heart. The story started with Saul speaking threats, and the story ended with Saul preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the beauty. So worship team, why don't you come up? We're going to close. When God speaks, you guys, I want to say this, that there is always going to be a confirmation. I also want to say that the right people will surround and support you, that nothing can fog or confuse what God has spoken into your life. When God speaks, it's personal, but it will affect the many. You know, Rich giving me this book and me seeing that and being a confirmation and the chills that I felt, it was almost like I was sitting back in that chair with God. I was filled with entheos again. And guys, here it is. We are moving. Guys, listen, when I say this, he didn't put a moving truck outside the window for me. It wasn't that I was moving out of Virginia. He was giving me something to get moving in. We are going toward what is next. We are full of purpose. We are full of God. We see what he sees. We will hear what he says. We are going to be doing exactly what he asked us to do. And we will be ready when he says go, and he'll have that bus waiting for us. It'll be there. I promise you that it will be there. Meanwhile, everybody say meanwhile. Meanwhile, all this amazing stuff is going on in our lives. And Satan is doing everything that he can do to block you from that plan of purpose. Meanwhile, while you're trying to follow what God has spoken into your life, Satan is trying to stop you, to take away your appetite, to take away your entheos. God makes the way. He'll give you the bus. but you actually have to drive it. Listen, Carrie Underwood made a lot of money on a song called Jesus Take the Wheel. It's a great song. Sometimes Jesus kind of does kind of have to step in and take the wheel sometimes to get us back on the road. But guys, he gave the bus to me because I was supposed to go get in it and start driving it. Listen to this. You have to go. You have to tell others about Jesus. You have to invite people to church. You have to be kind and love. You have to choose Jesus. You are the ones that have to pay your tithe. You are the one that has to say yes to God's plan for your life, because if God is always driving the bus, when things go wrong, then we blame him. We will blame him, I'm telling you, that's how it'll happen. God gives us, I love it. I love the idea that when he says, build my kingdom, he puts the hammer in our hands. He puts the cement and the bricks and everything. We get to build the kingdom. We get to build, and when things get tough, we can say, yeah, God, please come and just take the wheel for a second. That's I need you right now. But guys, he wants us to do it. God provided the bus. I have to get on and ready to drive, and through my entheos, I get other people on the bus. Guys, we're about to walk into a new chapter, that this isn't just a come to church and leave and not have anything to do with. This is God coming in and putting entheos into our spirit, to where we become enthusiastic about what Jesus has done in our lives, that we start our bus, we start driving it, and as people get on with us, we are growing the kingdom because we have a team that is ready to get moving, and we're going forward in the name of Jesus to change the world for Jesus. Plans to prosper, plans to prosper the world, and plans to prosper Harvest Assembly of God. Can I get an amen? God has a plan, and I am so thankful for it. Can we bow our heads? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word this morning, and I thank you for just knowing the beginnings of Saul, who would become Paul. God, just that you could take somebody like that, Lord, that God, he was a judge. He judged people so wrong. He was a murderer. He was somebody that would go and falsely imprison these people for their belief in Christ, but you changed him just in a matter of days. And all he could talk about was your son, Jesus. Father God, I pray for anybody that is here this morning that has just felt left out of the plan. God, maybe some that just have not heard your voice in their lives in quite a while, that, Lord God, that we are here today, we're here this morning, your presence is here. And Father, what I've read in Scripture and what I see in the story of Saul is that you have not only a plan for us, but a plan to prosper us. As in that one translation says, many plans you have for us. God, we came into this church with just so many different things. Some of us, things are just going great. Why would you change? Why would I want to change what's going on? Others, it's been awful financially, maybe in your marriage, maybe in relationships, maybe at your job, and you're needing that change, or you're wanting that change, but you want to be led. They're wanting to be led by you, God. And Father, I just pray right now, Lord, that you would just begin to specifically touch their lives where they are, God, that they would just be sitting in that same chair that you put me in, and that you're going to begin grooming them, even now, even before they even make a move to go towards you, Lord Jesus, that you're beginning to work your touch in their lives. Father, I pray in Theos that the enthusiasm of your son, Jesus Christ, would flood every heart in this place this morning. Lift them up, God. Say what you said to Saul, get up and go into the city. What you said to Ananias, go, he is my chosen one. Father God, that you would say that to each and every one of us, that it's time to go. It's time to get on that bus and drive it, fill it with people, and let's go and build the kingdom of God. Let's go and take the land together in the name of Jesus. So anybody, Lord God, anybody in this room, Lord, I pray that you will speak plan and vision into their lives. With every head bowed and eye closed, you say, Pastor Matt, I just desperately need God to speak into my life right now. And if that's you, I want you to lift your hand wherever you are. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. So, Father God, as the worship team just begins to sing, Lord, we're just going to prepare our hearts for what you're going to say. Some of us are still thinking about that question I just asked.